We keep on getting involved. Every day we get involved more and more in Hilchos Avelos. Okay. They're cheerful topics. They're cheerful and young. Okay. So yesterday we left off in the middle of 10 different things. We try to complete all of the discussions. We left off in the middle of the two terutzim of the Ramban on his kasha, all quoted by the Ran. A lot of Achrayim didn't have the Ramban. It wasn't printed till recently. I think Rabbi Zalman also printed it years ago. So for many generations it wasn't available, but they all had the Ran on the Rif. So the Ran on the Rif on page Aleph on the base quotes this whole Ramban, who asked the following kasha. There were two different Bahags that we were talking about. There's a third Bahag coming up also, the bottom Tosfos on Dalet Amud Aleph. But the two different Bahags that we were discussing so far. The one Bahag was that he said, if someone dies on the last day Yontif, on the ninth day of Sukkot, so the eighth day of Pesach, and he's buried on the same day, so Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura, there's an Avelus Yom Rishon D'Araisa, and the observance of Yontif, Sheni Shel Golias, is only Midirabbanan. Chalamoid, there's a mitzvah of Simcha also. So even if Yontif Sheni of the second day Pesach is Midirabbanan, and Ateretz Chalamoid, Chalamoid there's a Chiyav Simcha also, so there's no Avelus on Chalamoid. But we're talking the last day Pesach and the last day Sukkot, that it's not, if it's Minat Torah in Eretz Yisrael, there is no Yontif on the last day. It's not Chalamoid either. So the whole reason why one doesn't observe Avelus on Yontif is because the mitzvah of Simcha and the mitzvah of Avelus are contradictory. So here, because the contradiction is between a Deraisa and the Rabbanan, Avelus and Rishon is Deraisa, and the observance of Simchas Yontif on the very last day Yontif is only with the Rabbanan, so the Bahag is of the opinion that the Deraisa beats out the Rabbanan. Whenever there's a conflict between a Deraisa and the Rabbanan, the Deraisa beats out the Rabbanan. And that's what Tosfos was not happy. So the Rosh quoted another version that Bahag never said it. He meant the Yontif Sheni is a minig, and he didn't mean that Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa. Where, who would ever say that? Wild. The Bahag never meant to say Avelus Yom Rishon Deraisa. Man, Avelus Yom Rishon is a real din, and Yontif Sheni is only a minig, so a din takes precedence over a minig. That was the version that the Rosh quoted Yeshama. But the popular version of the Bahag was the way it says in the Yeridei, the way the Mechabek was, the way this final follow. Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa. Simchas Yontif on the last day is only the Rabbanan. When there's a conflict between the Deraisa and the Rabbanan, the Deraisa wins. So if it's Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura, one observes Avelus on the last day Yontif. So this Sfaradim follow that Psak of the Mechaber, based on the Bahag, and the Ashkenazim don't follow it. We said the Ramo rejects it for two reasons. Number one, Ashkenazim hold that all Avelus is the Rabbanan, even Avelus Yom Rishon. And secondly, the premise that whenever there's a conflict between the Deraisa and the Rabbanan, the Deraisa always has to win, the Tosfos says it's not true. And Tosfos says, you see, from Agamar, it's not true, because if they machnis ha-mesachas ha-mesakala l'chupe, b'abilis mitzvah p'irish, and then they bury the mace, so there's a conflict between Avelus Yom Rishon of the burial of the mace, and all simchas chasen is only midirabbanan, and it says that the simchas chasen is observed first 7 days, 7 days of Avelus later, so you see, even if you all like the Bahag that Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa, but Simchas Chasen, no one in his right mind saying that is Deraisa. So you see that the Rabbanan can beat out a Deraisa. So that's what the Rosh said. No, Rabbi Meir Alevi says that Simchas Chasen Yom Rishon is Deraisa. Mishkan Yankim says all 7 days Simchas Chasen is Deraisa. Okay, so those were the two reasons why the Ramah rejected that Bahag. Okay, so we finished that Bahag. Then there was another Bahag that we're still in the middle of. The Bahag says someone was buried in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So the Shiva doesn't begin till after Yontif. So the Bahag says, even though one doesn't observe Avelus on the last day Pesach, on the last day Yontif, the first Bahag said, if it's the Yom HaMisa the Hakfur, if he died and he's buried on that day, then the Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisa, and you observe Avelus on the last day Yontif. We're talking, it wasn't Yom HaMisa the Hakfur, it's buried on Chol HaMoed. And you don't begin the Shiva till after Yontif is over. So the Bahag said, even though the last day Yontif, the Ovel doesn't observe Avelus, but the last day Yontif is Oila for the first day of Shiva. Mazeh, why is it Oila for the first day of Shiva? So the Ramban is explaining the Bahag, and based on his explanation, he had a kasha. So he's explaining the Bahag, what is it all about? Why is Yontif not Oila Leminyan Shiva? Because the days are labeled as Yimei Simcha. Yontif, the calendaric day. Al Pidin, the day is different. The day is a Yom Simcha. And Avelis, the Shiva, the day is called the Yom Avel. So you can't superimpose a Shem Yom Avel on top of a day that's a Yom Simcha. But the last day Yontif, the very last day Yontif, is only a Yom Simcha Midirabbanan. So that's not such a tie to this as if it's a Yom Simcha Deraisa, you can't superimpose a Shem Yom Avel on top of such a day. But the very last day Yontif is only a Yom Simcha Midirabbanan. And many Achrayim write this svara. Nesivus is famous for this, that the dinim derabbanan are all dinim on the gavra. They can't change the chefta. So you can't change the label of the day. What are you going to say? Midirabbanan, we're changing the nature of the day. The day is called the Yom Simcha. Midirabbanan, all the dinim are just on the gavra. Say it like that. A svara like that. So the Bahag, the way the Ramban understood the Bahag, since the very last day Yontif is only Yom Simcha Midirabbanan, so the chefta of the day doesn't really change. So we can superimpose a Shem Yom Avel on top of the last day of Yontif. So that's why it's Oila for the first day of Shiva. You don't observe the Shiva because Midirabbanan you have to observe Simcha. But it's Oila as the first day of Yemei Avel of the Shiva. So the Ramban asked the Kashi, if so, over here, on the assumption that all the days Yemei Simcha of the Chasen is only Midirabbanan, if you don't assume like the Mishkan is Yankov, all Shiva is Yemei Mishta, all 7 days are Yemei Simcha Minatur. You should assume not like that. You assume the Ramban seems to assume that none of the Yimei Simcha of the Chosin doesn't hold like the Rabbein Meir Halevi that the Rosh quoted either. So the Ramban seems to assume al pi pashtus that all the 7 days of Yimei Simcha of the Chosin is only with the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan can't change the Cheftza. So the day is not labeled as a Yom Evil. So why can't you superimpose the 7 days Yimei? The day is not labeled as a Yom Simcha. The Simchas Chosin, the 7 days, the day is not labeled. So Din and Gavra, you have to be Mesamech, but the day itself is not labeled as a Yom Simcha. So why can't you superimpose a Shem Yom Avel on the Shiva Simei Amishta? So he'll be Mesamech with his wife all 7 days, and he'll be Oile, he'll be Yitzu all the 7 days of Shiva on the same week, on the same 7 days of Yimei Simcha, without observing any Shiva at all. That was the Ramban's Kasha. The Brisa says Ram Shevetzina Anoig. Yeah. Ram Shevetzina Anoig. Right. So why not say that we left in the middle of that also? How come Ram Shevetzina Anoig according to the Rambam? We'll have to finish that. We left a lot of things loose. So we have to tie up all the loose ends. Okay. We'll get back to the Ram Shevetzina. So the Ramban asked Akash. So the Ran quotes verbatim. He quotes the two answers given by the Ramban. So the first answer the Ramban said was, over there, you're going to say the last day of Yontif counts as the first day of Shiva, and he still has to observe another 5.5 days. In the morning of the sixth day, you'll say, Miksam Kukulai, so you'll be finished with the Shiva. So you're only chopping off 1 day. Here you're going to say, all the 7 days are Oila. As someone touched it up yesterday, he said, not all the 7 days. Ramban says, you postpone till tomorrow. So you're going to knock off 6 days. You're going to knock off 6 days. You're just going to have 1 day of Shiva after. That's too much. So the Chacham said, you can't knock off so much. So we'll say, okay, so we'll knock off 1 or 2 days. And so Ramban says, Mehecha Tesa. Why should you knock off 1 or 2 days out of Shiva? All the days of Shiva are the same. So here they said, none of the days of Yimei Simchas Chosin are Oile for Yimei Evel. That was one answer that he gave. Okay. That's what Chacham said. And what would be the din? Let's say they have Simchas Chosin Mekala for 7 days, and on the fifth day, on the sixth day, a relative dies and they bury him on that day. So Mestama, then we would say, like, we would apply the Bahag. We'll say, since Yimei Simcha V'Chosin is only Midirabbanan, so you can superimpose Hashem Yimei Evel on the last 1 or 2 days, and we'll chop off 1 or 2 days. To chop off 7 days, or 6 days, or 5 days, Mestama, you can't drop Rav of the 7 days. Right, but the 7 days, you can't say it's a superimposed Yimei Avel on top of Yimei Simcha and be left with 1 day of Shiva, left with 2 or 3 days of Shiva. But if you're just going to chop off 1 or 2 days at the end of Shiva's Yimei Amishta, you know, observe another 4.5 days, another 5.5 days after the Shiva's Yimei Amishta is over, so some of that the Ramban would say is good. That was the first answer of the Ramban. Then the second answer of the Ramban was, Inami Yeshlana, he said, Yontav Sheni is the Chasveka de Yayma. Used to be a Sveika Diyama. Yontav Sheni is a Sveika Diyama. The reason why they instituted it, because he used to have Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah, the people who live far away from the Beis Avad. Beis Avad is where the Bezdin used to meet, and established the witnesses had to come and testify that they saw the new moon. And the Bezna, Beis Avad, you don't need the whole 71 members of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin should either pick, the Rambam writes, so should either pick three members of the Sanhedrin, they should pick a Bezna of three who are not necessarily members of the Bezna, and they should be in charge of Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Beis Avad usually was in Yerushalayim. And then years later, when the Bezna was in Golus, the Beis Avad was floating around different places. So the Edom have to go to testify where the Bezna is and whoever, whichever Bezna is in charge of Kiddush HaChodesh. So the people that live far away are never going to know when Rosh Chodesh was established. It was always a Sfeik of the Yom. What about Bizman HaZez? It's still a Sfeik of the Yom. That's an issue. The Gemara has dinim until the days of Abai Barabba, there was still Mekadosh al Pihariyah. In the middle of the lifetime, Abai Barabba lived in bubbles, so they didn't have any smicha. There's no smicha in Chutz Lords. So the Kiddush HaChodesh had to be done in Eretz Yisrael. So their counterparts, during the lifetime of Abai Barabba, the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael established the Luach Kavua that we have now. So now there's no more Sveika di Yaima. We have printed 1,000 years in advance when Yontav is going to be any given year, lest Mashiach comes before. And we revert back to the system of Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Ariyah. Because man, that Mashiach doesn't come, Eliyahu, no, he doesn't come. Nobody has any smicha today. Nobody has any bona fide smicha. So he can't do Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Ariyah. So we know in advance when Yontav is going to be. So that's a shayla. The Gemara, Bizman, Shekiddush al Pi Ariyah. Before the days of Abai V'Rabba, the Mishnayis and the Gemara have dinim about Sveika Diyayma. It's Bimanim Shach, either the first day is Yontif or the second day is Yontif. It can't be that both are Yontif. Shadis, what about Bizman HaZeh, that we have a Luach Kavua, and we know the first day is Yontif Midrash, and the second day is only make-believe Yontif Midrabbanan. So do we still say Bimanim Shach? It could be Mafrish. The Mishnah asks, for example, a din. You're not allowed to be Mafrish Shumas HaMaisis on Shabbos and Yontif. So what if a person has a lot of Tevel? And if you got to be mafrish on Erev Yontif, so the Mishnah has like this, let him be mafrish on the first day Yontif, ala Tanai, and he'll say like this, if today's Yontif, what I'm going to say is batla mavutl. If today's not Yontif, I'm mafrish, today's Erev Yontif, and tomorrow's Yontif, I'm hereby mafrish, this is Truma, this is my Sarish, and this is my Shesheni, I'm paid in the my Shesheni. Then tomorrow he's going to repeat, and he says, if yesterday was Erev Yontif, so I was mafrish yesterday. If yesterday was Yontif, so I'm mafrish today. What I set aside yesterday as Truma, I'm declaring now should become Truma. What I set aside yesterday as my Sarishan should become my Sarishan, and so on. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that. The Mishnah is talking before the days of Abai V'Rabba. Mishnah was written before the days of Abai V'Rabba. Shaila, what about Bizman HaZeh after the days of Abai V'Rabba, after the Luach Kavua has been established? Do you still say that Yontif Sheni is a Sveika D'Yoyma? And you can make such a hafrosh and Mimonav Shach and make an Erev Etchum in Mimonav Shach, he's still allowed to do that. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rav. So the Rambam says that Bizman HaZeh is no more, it's not a Sveika D'Yoyma, everything is B'Toras Vaday. And the Rav disagrees, he says, what are you talking about? And all the Tshuvas HaGoinim and all the Sifri HaGoinim, they quote all the Mishnayis. The Goinim all lived after the days of Abai V'Rava. So you see that even though you're right, even though the Rambam is right, that today there is no Sveika D'Yoyma, the only reason why we still continue to observe Yontav Sheni, Shal Golias, is because the Gemara said in the beginning of Beit Zan, Dav Dalet, they quoted that Gemara, that they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael, Shalchum Itam, sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael, Yizor B'minig Avasecha Midech, we should still continue to observe the practice of Yontav Sheni, Shal Golias. So they made a takona, so it should be B'Toras Vaday. So the Rabbi disagrees, says, no, all the Goyim quote all the Mishnayis, as if it's still a Sveika D'Yoyma. So apparently the Goyim understood that the Takana Rabbana was, we should still preserve Yontav Sheni the way we always observed it. Even though there is no Sveika D'Yoyma, we should make believe as if there is a Sveika D'Yoyma. And the Rambam sounds like he holds, no. The Rambam sounds like he holds, that's the question. There's a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam quotes all the dinim yikimimafrish mimanavach, and then he writes later that Bizman HaZeh is no Sveika D'Yoyma. So it's a stira in the Rambam. So the pashtus is that the Rambam said, that's how Rabbein Avram ben Aramam wrote a letter. My father meant to say that he was writing what the dinim used to be before the days of Abai V'Rava, and Bizman HaZeh is no longer any Sveika D'Yoyma. Rab Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer a whole interpretation that is not a stira in the Rambam. So he says, not so. So they all make fun of Rab Chaim, that he closed his eyes to the letter that Rabbein Avram ben Aramam wrote, that Rambam never said that. Okay. So, you don't like Rav Chaim. Okay. Sometimes, if you have Rabbi Avraham ben Aramon claims that his father said that his man is not a sfeika diyam. Okay, so that's an issue. So let's get back again. So the Ramban writes, the Yantav Sheni Shel Galus is sfeika diyam, it's a suffix. His man is no suffix, so we assume like the Ravid, we make believe as if it's a suffix. It could be the Rambam will not agree with this second answer of the Ramban. It could be he will agree. We're not sure. It's a question. Okay. Rav Chaim claims the Rambam will also agree that it's a sfeika diyama, and the historians claim Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was didn't correspond to reality, and the Rambam said that bisman is that it's not a sfeika diyama. Okay, whatever. But the Ramban writes like the Ravid that it's a sfeika diyama. So he says we have a klal in avelus. Whenever there's a sofik, you go to hakel. So if yontif achra in the last day, yontif the eighth day of Pesach and the ninth day of Sukkot is a sfeika diyama. Sofik yontif sofik chol. So with respect to shiva, you go to hakel. You don't observe shiva because maybe it is yontif. With respect to ending shiva, we say lahakel. Maybe it was yontif. So the last day yontif, the ninth day of Sukkot and the eighth day of Pesach counts as the first day of shiva, even though you didn't observe anything. You go lahakel in both directions. You go lahakel and avelus atayti disasri. And a suffik derabana lekuli, you don't go lahakel atayti disasri. You can't go lahakel atayti disasri. That's a din in Yeridaya. The very last simon in Chelek Aleph Yeridaya, simon kuf yud aleph. Yeridaya Chelek Aleph, there are three volumes in Yeridaya. Chelek Aleph ends with simon kuf yud aleph. That's a simon about shtei kederis, two pots. So what's two pots? So you have a trefa pot and a kosher pot. I'm cooking trefa food for the workers. I have non-Jewish workers and I'm obligated to give them food. So I don't have to buy kosher food. So I have a trefa pot designated tref. Then I have a kosher pot. I have an Issa de Rabbanon and I don't know whether I threw it into this pot or this pot. Let's say the same flavoring. I have with hashgacha that costs five times as much and without hashgacha, the trefa one. So I'm supposed to throw the kosher flavoring into the kosher pot and the trefa flavoring into the trefa pot. I don't remember which one I threw into which. So there is a suffix, there is a possibility I threw the trefa flavoring into the kosher pot. They're both going to taste exactly the same because they both have the same amount of flavoring. But one is the kosher flavoring, one is the trefa flavoring, the same flavor. And the whole flavor that's trefa is only trefa in the rabbanon. So if you have shtei kederos, one kedera is trefa anyway, and one kedera is kosher. And I have a suffix the rabbanon, did the trefa flavoring fall into the trefa pot or into the kosher pot? So you go to hakel, toil him sakal kolab and makulka. You go to hakel, you assume that you threw the trefa flavoring into the trefa pot and the kosher flavoring into the kosher pot. What if you have two pots that are both kosher cooking on the fire? And you have an isa de rabbanon and you threw it into one of the two pots. So there's nothing to be toiler. So maybe I can say, all right, I'll only drink soup from this pot. I won't drink the soup from the other pot. I'll say, Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula, the trefa flavor fell into that pot. The other guy, we're all Jewish people, the other guy would say, I'll only eat from this pot, not from the other pot. I'll be toiler that the trefa flavoring fell into the other pot. So it says in the Yeridaya, that's a brisa in Tosefta, says you can't be mekel over there because you have no right to arbitrarily pick one over the other. If one of the two pots, Ben Kovako, is trefa, and one of them is kosher, so then you say, Tolem is akal kolem and mukoko, you have the right to assume it's a step past Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula. It's more than that. You have a right to assume the trefa flavor from to the trefa pot, Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula. But if the both pots are kosher, so you're going to have to assume one of them Bechreach. You can't be mata both, and you can't just pick arbitrarily Bechetesa. Why do you have the right to pick that this one is kosher, the other one is straight? They're both exactly the same. So therefore, you have to say that they're both asa, because you can't apply Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula by Tarte de Sasa. So here the Ramban says, Benigeta Avelus, Sofik Avelus Lahokel is stronger than Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula. We had the Ramban, we mentioned the Ramban in the Torah Sod and quoted the Tosfos in Erevin. He told us where it was yesterday. Tosfos in Erevin, what was it, Menvav or something? The bottom Tosfos on Menvav and Menalav, that Tosfos quotes from the Chuvus Agoinim. Tosfos themselves hold Avelus Yom Rishon is Lav Derais. No Avelus is Derais. But the quote from the Chuvus Agoinim, even if one should assume that Avelus Yom Rishon is Derais, then you still say Sofik Avelus Lahakel even on the first day. Because Sofik Avelus Lahakel is not based on, it's not a branch of the din of Sofik Derabanu Lekula. Even if Avelus is Derais, you still say Sofik Avelus Lahakel. So that's what we said yesterday, that the Ramban in the Torah Sodom writes, what's the mukkah for that? How did the Goyim come up to say such a thing? that Safek Avelus Lahakal, even on the level of Deraisa, usually Safek Deraisa Lechumra. So the Ramban writes in the Torah Adam, and the Mishkan Sankim didn't have a Torah Adam, and he guessed on his own, and he guessed exactly the same as Ramban. It's based on the Pasuk, what's the whole Makar of the Mitzvah of Avelus? We explained yesterday. So the Ramban writes, the Makar for the Mitzvah of Avelus is the Pasuk in Parsha Samor, Lo Yitamo. It says, if the Kohen's sister died, and she's single, the sister didn't get married yet. When the sister gets married, she becomes less of a sister. She's like a sister-in-law. Because man, that she's still single, then the kohen is metame. He's believed to be metame. So the Gemara had a machlekes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. How do you translate lo yitama? So we pass like Rabbi Kiva. Lo yitama is a chayva. The kohen is mechuyev to be metame to the zayin kohen. So what's the reason why he's mechuyev to be metame? To demonstrate kavod abriyah. So the Rama writes, included in that pasuk lo yitama is to show kavod abriyah. Even kavod amesim, kavod achaim, kavod abriyah while a person is alive. That's a kavod achaim from the pasuk. The pasuk goes, even kavod amesim you have to show. So the kavod amesim lo yitama includes not only that the kohen should be metame, includes also Yamri. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he lists off the mitzvah lo yitama, he writes, and included in this mitzvah is Avelus Yom Rishon, that you have to show kavod ames by observing Avelus Derais. So that pasuk lo yitama, the kohen has an obligation to be metame to the zayin krovim, to the seven relatives, the two parents, and the son and the daughter, two children, and the two siblings, the brother and the sister, and the spouse, if the wife dies. So those are the seven krovim. So the obligation of the kohen to be metame, so the Sifra has a drasha in a brisa in Sifra, it's only if it's a vada, if it's a suffix, the mitzvah doesn't apply. There's no din that the kohen is allowed to be metame, there's no mitzvah he's allowed to be metame. So that pasuk that speaks about, that is the pasuk that talks about avelus. Based on the same pasuk, lo yitama is the chiyav avelus. It's a branch of the chiyav to be metame to the meis. The Rambam writes, kama chamurehi, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Ovel, he writes a lashon. Kama chamurehi mitzvah avelus. Look how serious the mitzvah of avelus is. Shenitches miponeho isa tumas kohen. That the kohen is obligated to violate kedushas kuna in order to observe avelus. That's a cheluk of niyug avelus. That the kohen is metame to the zayin krovim. It's included in the same pasuk lo yitama is the mitzvah of avelus. The Rambam holds that itself is a cheluk of avelus. The kohen being metame is a niyug avelus. Not that the two different mitzvahs included in the pasuk. One is lo yitama to be metame, and one is to observe avelus. No. Rambam writes, "Kama chamurehi mitzvus avelus and nitches biponeo is a tumas kohanim." The Rambam thinks that is the mitzvah of avelus. That is a niyug avelus to attend the funeral is a chelik of the niyug avelus, and that mitzvah of being metame, the Sifra has a drasha, doesn't apply. But makom sofek only when there's a vayis and a mele on the level of the rice, and the mitzvah of avelus doesn't apply whenever there's a sofek. So it's even. It's stronger than the din of Sveika Derabbanan Lekula. We're talking on a level of Deraisa. Here it's Sveika Deraisa Lekula, not a Sveika Derabbanan Lekula, even Avelus Yom Rishon. So here the Ramban goes one step further. Even a Tarta Disasri. By Sveika Derabbanan Lekula, you wouldn't say it by Tarta Disasri. That's Simen Kuf Yud Aleph and the last Simen in the Chelek Aleph Yerodeya. By the Shtei Kteris, you can say Sveika Derabbanan Lekula B'mokum Tarta Disasri. That's what we mentioned yesterday from the Beis Halevi. They quoted for Arba Kaisis. The Gemara says in Arba Psochem that there's an obligation to drink two of the Arba Kaisis Behaseva. Ikadami Lahagis and Ikadami Lahagis. Some say the first two Kaisis, you're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it makes sense to have Haseva then. The last two Kaisis, you're benching Bichas Hamos and you're saying Halav, doesn't say anything about Yitzias Mitzrayim, so that you don't need Haseva. The Ikadami Lahagis, they say the reverse. You're telling the story, the first two Kaisis telling the story. You didn't leave Mitzrayim yet. After you finish telling the story, after the second kais, then you left Mitzrayim. Now you're a free man. So the third and the fourth kaises make sense to have a seber then. But when you're drinking the first two kaises, you're still in the middle of Mitzrayim. You didn't leave yet. So the Gemara says, since there are two versions of which one needs a seber, Hilchach, the Gemara says, we need a seber on all four. So they ran on the roof in the back of the Gemara, asked the Kasha, the whole din of seber is only midrabbanan. So if you have a suffix, whether these two or those two, why don't you go to Kula and say you don't need a Seba? So he says he can't go to Kula on both. That's Tarta Disasri. For sure you're doing wrong. You can't say Sveika Darbana Lekula Vemokim Tarta Disasri. And you can't just pick arbitrarily, I'm going to do a Seba on these two. Why did you decide those two? So whenever you have Sveika Darbana, and you can't be mekel on both, then you have no choice. You have to be machmer on both. So the Ramban says, but in Suffolk Avelus, you have a right to be mekel even tied to the Sasri. He says, Yontif Achroin, the last day, Yontif, the ninth day, Sukkot, the eighth day, Pesach is a Sveka the Yomam. The Ramban is talking Bizman Hazeh. So he's talking to Bahak. Seems to be assuming that it's still a Sveka the Yomam Bizman Hazeh. Either he doesn't agree with the Ramam or whatever. He doesn't hold like that Ramam, that Bizman Hazeh is no more Sveka the Yomam. He's assuming it's still a Sveka the Yomam. We act as if we know there's no Sveka the Yomam. Centuries in advance, 1,000 years in advance when Yom Tov is going to be. But still, the Takana der Rabbana was, you should treat it as if it's a Sveika Diyan. So the Ramban says, the last day Pesach, the last day Sukkot is a Sveika Diyayma, is a Safik Yom Tov, Safik Chol. So you go Lekula, you don't observe Avelus on the last day Yom Tov. But then, when it comes the end of the Shiva, you go Lekula in the other direction, you say, maybe last day Yom Tov was not Yom, maybe it was Chol, and therefore the Shiva began on that day. So you're not observing Shiva for 6.5 days, you're only observing 5.5 days. Amman says, that's not a problem. Safek Avelus L'Hokal is even B'mokam Tad to the Sas. You start a day later and you end the day earlier. You have 5.5 days, instead of having 6.5 days. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said from his father. His father had a psak. No rabbi will paskin like this. There was a big machlokes in Valozhin. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva of Valozhin. The last 39 years. He was not a direct descendant. Valozhin was founded by Rav Chaim Valozhin. And he married into the family. The Netziv married the granddaughter of Rav Chaim Valozhin. He married the daughter of Rav Bitzel of Valozhin, who was the son of Rav Chaim Valozhin. And there were other Talmid HaChachamim who were direct descendants of Rav Chaim Valozhin, who wanted to kick him out and wanted to take over. There were a few attempted coups, and he survived everything. And you look, they have this picture of the Netziv. He looks like such a dopey guy with the longer payas, his eyes look you ever see the picture with the big spodik, what do you call it? Big. He looks like he wouldn't harm a fly. He doesn't know what's going on in the world, such a tmeimadik guy. He was quite a chitra fellow. He was quite a clever fellow. He lasted for 39 years to be Rosh Yeshiva, for 39 years. Dr. Lehm was president over here for a very long time. That's very unusual for presidents of universities in America. To last on so many years, very unusual. The 39 years he lasted with all the direct descendants of Rav Chaim Valozhin wanted to kick him out, he stayed on. So the Netziv was of the opinion, Netziv was, I think it's in the Tshuvas of the Netziv, Netziv was of the opinion like this. If someone dies in America and they're going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so some of the relatives are going to go along, so they don't begin Shiva till after the Kvur. What about the relatives who stay behind? So the Gemara says, I think Tosis quotes it here. The Gemara says, "Mi michi mahader apayu mi bei avula." When the relatives are going to stay behind, they go to the airport, Kennedy Airport, and then the plane takes off. So those who stay behind, they go back home, they turn their head away. They turn their face away. In the days of Gemara, they didn't have an airport. So they would start traveling to Eretz Yisrael. They would take the Meis a long distance. So the Gemara says, when they went along to be Malava the Meis a little bit, and that's it. After an hour or two, they went back home. So the Gemara says, when they go back home, even though the Kavura doesn't take place till a week later, a month later, whatever, their Shiva begins right away. So what happens if someone lives in America, someone died in Eretz Yisrael, and they notify the relatives in America, your relative died, and the Kvura is going to take place tomorrow. But they're not going to go to the Kvura, they're going to stay here in America. So do you say that they begin Avelus right away? Or do you say, no, they don't begin Avelus till after the Kvura. So the Netziv claims they don't begin Avelus till after the Kvura. The Avelus begins, we paskin like Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua against Reb Lezer on the bottom of Dalan on the base. We paskin the Avelus begins after Stimus HaGol. What Stimus HaGol is? The Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam said, we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Stimus HaGol means the Gemar HaKvura. If they plan to put a Matzeva today, the Avelus, the Shiva doesn't begin till after they put up the Matzeva. If they're not going to put up a Matzeva, so it doesn't begin till after they finish filling in the whole cavity of the grave, the Gemar HaKvura. So the Netziv says, if the person died here in America, and the relatives are metapel in the kvur a little bit. They call a funeral home, they call a chevi kadisha, and then they go to the airport, and then they wait till after the plane takes off. So they participated partially in the kvurit. Actual kvurit is going to be completed in Eretz Yisrael, but they participated a little bit. So their gemar, hatipul, in the kvura is mimchi mahadar apayim be'avulah, when they turn their heads away from the funeral home, and they're taking the mace from the funeral home to take it to bury in a distant city, faraway city. And we finished our tipul, our hisaskus in the kvura. But if they call me on the telephone and they say that someone died, I'm not metapel in the kvura at all. I didn't lift a finger. So then the nitziv says you have to wait till after the actual kvura. The Shiva doesn't begin till after the actual kvura. Before the Second World War, that was the prevalent opinion. Most of the poskim held like the nitziv. And after the war, now most of the poskim hold like his son-in-law. His son-in-law was Rabbi Fol Shapiro, Rabbi Fol Valojiner. That was Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik's father-in-law. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik married the daughter of Rabbi Fol Valojiner, Rabbi Fol Shapiro. So he disagreed. Where do we know that he disagreed? So this is recorded in the Stechemed. The Stechemed was a Sephardi. I think he was born in Hebron. Born in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what possessed him. He decided to take on a Rabbanah somewhere in Afghanistan or somewhere in Russia, Uzbekistan. I don't know where. He came, they didn't know what was going on. What in the world is going on? They're doing this and doing that. So he started to correspond with all the Rabbanim in Europe. Are the Minhagim right? Are they crazy? Are they pulling my leg? Is it for real? So he corresponded with the Nitziv and with the Rabbi Fol Valojiner and with many, Rabbi Shlomo Levilner, Rabbi Zalman, corresponded with many Rabbanim from many different countries in Europe. And then he started to write a little encyclopedia. So that's the Stechemet. It's a whole encyclopedia, approximately alphabetically. Everything that starts with Aleph is in the beginning. It's not an alphabetical order within Aleph, but everything that starts with Aleph is in the beginning, everything that starts with Beis, it's approximately alphabetically arranged. He has this letter from Rabbi Fol Valojiner. That's the only source, I think, for that. That Rabbi Fol disagreed with his father-in-law, Denitziv. So today, after the Second World War, the common opinion is, the more accepted opinion is, like Rabbi Fol Valojiner said, that if they call up a relative in America to say, your relative died in Eretz Yisrael, the kvuras don't take place tomorrow, so the relative in America starts sitting Shiva right away. And years ago, the common practice was like the Nitziv, that most of the Paskim in Europe held like the Nitziv, that the Shiva doesn't begin till after Gemar HaKvura. So if you are Metapel in the Kvura, so when they take the mace and you're no longer going to be Metapel, that's as far as you're concerned, that's the Gemar of your Hisaskus in the Kvura. But if you're not going to Metapel in the Kvura at all, then the Shiva doesn't begin till after the Gemar HaKvura, until it actually takes place. So how do you pass on halacha l'maisa on this? I said before the war, the Roiv Paskim held like the Nitziv. After the war, the Roiv Paskim held like Rabbi Fol Valojiner. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, that was Rabbi Soloveitchik's father, he said, you go l'hokal in both directions. So you start Shiva day later, and you end Shiva day earlier. That's not ridiculous. That's what the Ramban says over here. The Ramban says that Yantav Sheni is a Sveika de Yoyma. So Sveika de Yoyma, you go l'hokal, tarte de sasri. So you start Shiva on Isruchak, and then Shiva, day earlier, as if you had started Shiva yesterday. He said, Halacha Kedivra Mekel Ba'ovel. He said, whenever you have, that's the cloud, whenever you have a legitimate machlokas haposkim. So if you yourself have your own opinion, and you're a chacham shehigir l'ayro, so you express your opinion, either l'hokal or l'achmer. You can't tie Rav Moshe Feinstein's hands, you can't tie Rav Soloveitchik's hands, say you have no right to paskin l'chumer because Halacha Kedivra Mekel Ba'ovel. No, he thinks it makes more sense l'chumer. But if you have, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said he doesn't have an opinion. He doesn't feel he can formulate an opinion on the issue. He sees them both equally. So then you have a right to go l'hokel, even in both directions, tied to the sasri. Exactly what the Ramban said.
Did Rav Paul Shapiro quote his reasoning behind it, or a source?
Yeah. He said the only reason why one doesn't observe Avelus till after the Kvur is because he's in Einan until then. So Einan is not allowed to keep any mitzvahs. But over here, I'm not in Einan, I'm in America. So Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov, you're not allowed to do any mitzvahs. Muta Lefanov means Muta Lola Blakovra. I'm in America, it's not Muta Lalai Likvaris. Mesa's over there. I'm not going to fly to Eretz Yisrael to take care of the Kvur. I'm going to stay here. So I don't have a din of aninus. I don't have a din of aninus. So the avelus begins right away. That's the generally accepted opinion today.
How does the din of like the gadol of a mishpacha who is responsible for the burial apply to this? Because it would say that shouldn't make sense that the person going and burying his is considered the head of the family and everyone should wait for him?
No. Gadol Abai is a different din. Gadol Abai is a different din. In the Gemara, the din of Gadol Abai, the original din of Gadol Abai in the Gemara is like this. There's a tshuva in the Maram Shik that goes like this. A fellow took a train in Europe. Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. So that train's already there. It's the late 1800s, that train's already. So a fellow, they didn't have telephones. So he went to visit his parents. So he goes by train. And he comes to his parents' home. He walks in. He sees everybody sitting Shiva. His mother died. And they're on the third day of Shiva, the fourth day of Shiva. So the Gemara says, since he came in the middle of Shiva, so he only has to observe with them, and he gets up when they're finished. So that story happened. The Maram Shik has a story. The fellow went by train, and then he walked from the train station to his parents' home, and someone sees him. He says, do you know your family is sitting Shiva? Your mother died. So he found out about it 10 minutes before he walked into the house. So he said, there's no din of Gadol Abai. The din that you observe Shiva together, you only observe the last few days of Shiva together with them, only applies if you became aware of the Misa. Before a person is aware of the death, there's no chiyuv to observe Shiva. The Gemara talks about Shmua Kroivo, Shmua Rechoika, that I find out within 30 days of the death of the relative, that I find out after 30 days. So you see, the premise of the Gemara is that the chiyuv to observe Abed is only if you find out. Then Shulchan Aruch, let's say I'm a doctor in the hospital, and I know that a patient died, and that patient's child is, I made up, I'm going to drive him to the wedding tonight. Some neighbor is having a wedding. So it says in the Yeridaya, I don't have to tell the son that his father died. He may never talk to me. He'll be angry at me. I'm a shogunah. Why didn't I tell him? But in Hilchas, maybe in Hilchas Ben Adam Achader, I have to tell. But Hilchas Avelis, there's nothing wrong. I don't have to tell the son that the father died. And I can take him to the wedding and dance with him. There's no violation of lifting either, because Kolzman, he does know that his father died. He's not mechuyev to observe any other of us. If I give you non-kosher food, and I'm going to say, whatever you don't know doesn't hurt you, that's not true. Treif is treif. But the chiyuv avelus only begins after shmiya. You have to eat the shmur kroivo, the shmur rechok. Kolzman, you don't know, so there's no chiyuv avelus. So the Maram Shik paskins like that. The whole din of Gadol Abai only applies if he only became aware of the death of the relative when he came into the house. He thinks he found out on his way walking from the train station to the parents' home. He found out 10 minutes before he walked into the home. He said there's no din of Gadol Abai. He has to observe the whole regular Shiva. He found out separately. Yeah, by us, it's always like that. By us, they call up all the relatives. Everybody knows that a person died. So then someone went to the burial in Eretz Yisrael, then he comes back to America. So then he ends the Shiva with the rest of the relatives. According to Maram Shik, is not correct. He began Shiva on his own. He began separately. He began after the Kvur took place in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't become aware of the Misa when he entered into the Beis Oval. So according to Maram Shik, the whole din doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. Even according to the others who don't agree with the Maram Shik, so the Gemara says, this din, that if the relative, the Karev, comes into the Beis HaOvel, and he finds out they're all sitting Shiva, it only applies if he came in Makom Karev. If he came in Makom Rochek, from a very big distance, then it doesn't apply. So what's the Shiva Makom Karev, Makom Rochek? So Tosis, on that daf, in Moed Katan, quotes the Rif, who quotes from the Halachas Gedolos, how much, what does he say? Esa Parsoas. What does that say? 10 parsoas. 10 parsoas. Where did he get 10 parsoas? Because the Gemara says, Mahalacha the maiden ibayim as a parsoas. That's how much a person can travel, the average person can travel by foot. If he's walking by foot, 10 parsoas. So this din, that I don't have to observe the whole 7 days of Shiva. I can observe a truncated Shiva, just the last day or two. The last day, I come on the morning of the last day, and I find out that someone died, so I only have to observe Shiva for an hour or two, and when the Avelim get up, I get up also. So that only applies if I came in Makom Karev. If I came in Makom Karev, it doesn't apply. So that was a big machlekes. The Talmidim of the Neder Yehuda had a big machlekes. Where did he get the shear from? Esav Parsois. That's the amount, that's the Esav Parsois is the distance that a person can travel if he would be traveling a whole day. And where does that come from? Where do you find such a din? If I'm within one day's traveling, I relate to that place. So the makor for that whole idea is by Pesach Sheni, Derech Rechoika. If you're Derech Rechoika, then you bring Pesach Sheni. Let's say the fellow's far away from Yerushalayim, and he notifies them, he sends a letter, I'm busy in business there at Pesach in the morning, make sure you bring a korban Pesach on my behalf, I'm going to come flying in by a camel, they didn't have any airplanes, I'm going to go on a fast camel that's going to travel quickly. Normal people would walk by foot in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they would walk by foot, and it would take them quite a while to get there. I'm going to come by camel, so it's going to take me 1/10 of the time, I'm going to be going so quickly, so I can do business till later in the day. So the din is that he's not Yotzei. If the fellow was Bederech Rechoika, he was far away, more than one day's travel away from Yerushalayim, he's not Mitztarev to Yerushalayim. So the whole Mokker for Mokkim Kor, Mokkim Rochek, is Derech Rechoika. The whole idea comes from Derech Rechoika. So there by Derech Rechoika, the Gemara says how much a person can travel a course of the day is 10 parsos. So there, in the days of the Talmidim of the Nadiv Yehuda, it was a Machloikas, that shear of Esav Parsois, is that Aloch HaMoshe Messina? That's the shear. And the Gemara says, even they can get there if you go by a Gamla Parcha, if you go by a camel that's going to go very quickly, it's like flying in the air. If you go by Gamla Parcha, you can travel much more than Esav Parsois. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? Is that Aloch HaMoshe Messina? That's it? Or maybe the Aloch means to say, however an average person would travel. So Bizman advised the average person would travel by walking by foot. Bizman said the average person would never walk by foot. He would go up by bus, he would go up by train, he would go by plane, whatever, one or the other. So what's the din? So they said, Benegat to Korban Pesach, Losi Lovim, and what's the din going to be? Korban Pesach, what's called Derech Rechoka? So they said, Moshiach will come, Eliyahu Navi will come, Moshe Rabbeinu will come back from the dead. We'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu what the din is. But what's the din now, before Tchias Amesim, before Moshe Rabbeinu comes back from the dead? What's the din when you get to Makom Korb, Makom Rochek for Avelus? Not about Makom Korb, Makom Rochek for Beis HaMikdash. We'll find that like Shri. But at Beis HaMikdash, we'll give up some. What about, meanwhile, what do we do when you get to Avelus? So they said, there was a big machlekes among the Talmidim of the Nadi Yehuda, and they said, Halach HaMekel Ba'ovel. When it comes to Avelus, you have a right to follow the leading into penis. So we say that since the average traveler would go by train, if it's a far in the late 1800s, the average traveler would not go by plane. They didn't have any planes then. Even if they had planes, the average traveler wouldn't pay for an airplane. So the average traveler would go by train. So we go lahakel, and it's considered makom karev if you go by how far could you travel if you travel the whole day long. Yeah, what about Bizman HaZeh? Then we have the airplanes. And if Eretz Yisrael to America, no one's going to go by boat. The average traveler wants to go from Eretz Yisrael to America is going to go by plane. Very few people. Less than 50% are going to go by boat. Ruba de Ruba are going to go by plane. If they can't afford it, they won't go. But they're talking about the travelers who are going to go. Most of them are going to go by plane. So you're going to say, the whole world is Makom Karev. So there's no Makom Rochek anymore. So you just abolish talk. There's a pasuk in the Torah, Derech Rechoika. You can't do away with the pasuk in Chumash. So Moshe Feinstein is quoted as having said, it's a different continent. You can't say the whole world is Makom Karev. You have to limit it a little bit. He said, at least if it's a different continent, from Eretz Yisrael to America is a different continent. From Eretz Yisrael to Europe, to Asia, to Africa, that's all connected. Eretz Yisrael is the middle point that links together Europe, Asia, and Africa. But to go from one continent to another, he said that's too much. To say different Yabeshet, that's also called Makom Karev. So Moshe held that the din of God Labayis, that what you call God Labayis, he felt that it doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh. When the people come from Eretz Yisrael, they went with Oren and they come back and they want to chisel off a day of Avelus, he thought that it's not right. Yes, where do we come from over here? Yeah. So the Shaila is like this. What if there was a Kvura on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. People die every day of the year. The first day Yom Tov, he says, you cover al yidei amimin. You get amir with a nachri is muta. On Shabbos and Yom Kippur, we don't do kvura, even al yidei amimin, even al yidei nachri, we don't do. But on Yom Tov Rishon, we do. So let's say someone dies, buried on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So would you say the second day of Rosh Hashanah counts as the first day of Shiva, even though you don't observe Shiva? The Rosh Hashanah is not a Sveika Diyama. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Arichta. It's not the Torah Sveika Diyama. The Gemara says, and you can't be Mafrish Chumas and Mises Allah Tanai the first day, second day of Rosh Hashanah. Because it be Paschim that the Rosh Hashanah is not, we don't treat it as a Sveika Diyama. So according to the second explanation that the Ramban gave, that the reason why the Bahag said the second day, the last day Yom Tov counts as the first day of Shiva, even though you're not observing anything, is because you go to Kul in both directions. You start a day later and a day earlier, so then it wouldn't apply to Rosh Hashanah. But the first explanation that he gave, we go to Hakam on the two explanations. We go to Hakam on the both explanations. So the Pischei Tshuva makes this calculation in Yeridei. So he says, as far as the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we apply the Bahag's Shita. We do apply the Bahag's Shita based on the first explanation that the Ramban gave. That since the second day of Rosh Hashanah is only a Yontif the Rabbanon, so the dinim the rabbanon are all on gavra, not on the chepta. So the day is not labeled as a yom simcha. Even if you say the day is labeled as a yom simcha, but it's not a tartar desasri with a yom evil. A yom simcha derais is a tartar desasri with a yom evil. Yom simcha the rabbanon is not a tartar desasri. So even on the last day Rosh Hashanah, second day Rosh Hashanah, we would also be makel. You say that one doesn't observe avelus on the second day Rosh Hashanah, but it counts as the first day of the shiva. The other Yamim Taifim, you can have the second explanation of the Ramban, that it's Safek Abelus Lahaka. Second day Rosh Hashanah, the second explanation can apply. But the first explanation still applies.
He's doing Ramshah B'Tzimah, though, so isn't that a Hebrew? Is he doing Ramshah B'Tzimah on the second day Ramshah?
That would be a Machlekes, what you observe on the Yontif. What the one observes Rosh Hashanah, we said that's a machlokes between the Rambam and Tosfos. The Gemara says Rosh Hashanah noig beregel, afal pishen abelus b'moed, al Rosh Hashanah noig. So moed sounds like yontif. So that's Tosfos shita. That's what Ashkenazim hold like that. That the laws of Shiva begin right away, but to be yotze, the malois of Shiva, the malois can only begin after Yom Tov, because you can't label Yimei Simcha as Yimei Evel. But Hilchas Avelus begin right away. That's Shitas HaTosfos. The only exceptions to the rule are also Lotzes from Pesach Beisoy and Ilas Hasandel, Ramban and Slim, because that's necessary. That'll interfere with his ability to take care of the Kvura. That's one of the main dinim of Avelus. He has to take care of the Kvura. But according to the Rambam, no aspects of Avelus apply before the Kvura. Nothing applies till after the Kvura. There are no Isurim that are separate from the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Kiyum HaMitzvah is only going to be later. So let's say a Kavus HaMeis on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, or in the middle of Chol HaMoed, Pesach HaSukkos or whatever. So then, according to the Rambam, Dvarim Shebetzinah would not be Noig on the last day on
the Rambam,
the on the last day Yom Tov, on the last day Yom Tov. That's only the Rambam. So according to Ramban's second explanation, it's Betoris Sufek. If you hold like the Rambam, Ashkenazim follow the Tosfos that the laws of Avelus begin right away. So the laws of Avelus begin even on Chol HaMoed when it's Vada Yom Simcha Deraisa. Still in Issa Dvarim Shebetzinah. Svardim, I think, probably follow the Rambam, that all the laws of Avelus don't begin at all till after the Kvura. So Dvarim Shebetzinah wouldn't be Noeg on Yontif. So what about on the last day Yontif? So if it's the last day Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, that's a Sveika D'Yoma, if you hold that it's a Sveika D'Yoma today also, so then you say, B'Torah Sofik, Halacha Sofik Avelus L'Hakel. So you don't observe any Avelus at all today. You start late and you end early. You only observe 5.5 days. According to, but let's say, second day Rosh Hashanah, you can't apply that. Second day Rosh Hashanah is not a Sveik of the Yom. The second day Rosh Hashanah, you still are makel that the second day Rosh Hashanah counts as the first day of Shiva. Why? Because you do, because since it's only a Yom Simcha Midir Rabbanon, so it's not a Tartar Desasri with the Shem Yom Evil. So you do superimpose the Shem Yom Evil. So Mistama Dvarim Shemitzina would be Noi. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Dvarim Shemitzina would be Noi given according to the Rambam. According to Tosfos, Dvarim Shemitzina would be Noi given on the seventh day of Pesach. Even Achal HaMoed Dvarim Shemitzina would be Noi. But according to the Rambam, not so. And on the last day, Pesach Shua Sukkis is Feker the Yoma. So we saw if you can say Halacha the Ramekel Bal, but Safa Gabedus Luhakel. So we say you don't observe anything. You don't observe anything. But the second day, Rosh Hashanah, that's not a Sveika Diyama. So there you would still be Mekel like the Bahag. Second day, Rosh Hashanah counts as the first day of Shiva. But then you would have to observe Dvarim Shebetzin, even according to the Rama. That is right.
Does Yom Kippur have the standard thing of Yom Simcha like every other Yom, or you say the Nisam is? Like, puts it, like, into a different category.
It's a machlokes hatanoim in a Mishnah in Moed Katan. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? And the Psak Halacha is that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are also Kibbur Golem, that they cancel Yom Tov, right? That's a question. Do we pass like that because Halacha that Ramekel Ba'ovel? But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the truth of the matter is we hold that there's no Chiyuv Simcha. It's only since there was such an opinion, so when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, you have a right to be Mekel. Well, no, we really pascha like that. That Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there is a Chiyuv Simcha. So that's a machlekes in Erevin on Daf Mem Amud Beis. When you say Kiddush on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, you say Shachyonu. Do you say Shachyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? So the Gemara says, what did you do last year? Well, you just woke up, the Torah was just given. Tavshinayin Hey. So the Gemara says, no, it's a Rishus. Optional to say Shachyonu, that's for sure. We know last year we said Shachyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You say Shachyonu when you have a Pri Chodesh also. So Avada you say Shachyonu, but the Shachyonu on a Pri Chodesh is optional. The Gemara says it's only a Rishus, it's not a Chayva. The Shachyonu on the Pri Chodesh is not because I enjoy this fruit. Let's say I'm allergic to the fruit or the vegetable, whatever. I never eat this thing because it's not healthy for me. I'm not allowed to eat it. You still say Shachyonu. Medina the Gemara, you say Shachyonu when you're walking in the street and you see they're selling it in a store. They're selling the fruit in the store. You say, even if you're not able to afford it, you're not able to eat it because of a condition that you have, you're allergic to it, it doesn't matter. Shechianu is on the Hagos Hazman, Shechianu, Higyonu Hazman Hazeh. I see that I have survived to another watermelon season. I survived to another cherry season, to another potato season, whatever. Whatever I see, there are only certain seasons in the year when they sell potatoes. Now they probably sell watermelons all year long. They fly them in from Greece or from Italy or from California, whatever. So now the Poskim say, there's no Shachyonu on a Pri Chodesh. You don't see that a new season has arrived. You know where the fruits come from. You know which country they come from. You don't know. You don't see any difference. Years ago, the watermelons were only available in the summertime, and the grapes were only available this season of the year. So when you see they're selling the grapes in the store, you're excited. Shehigyonu lazman hazeh, I survived to another season. It's a shachyonu an hagos hazman. So the Gemara says, that shachyonu an hagos hazman pi chodesh, that's only a reshus, it's not a chayva. So to say shachyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we know what we did last year. We said shachyonu. But the Gemara wants to know if shachyonu is only a reshus over the hagos hazman, or is it a chayva? What's the tzad suffix? So some of the Rishonim right there, that's the suffix. Pesach Shavuos Sukkis, it's a chayva to recite Shachyonu because there's a chiyuv simcha. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that was the suffix in the Gemara. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, chayva, you're mechayv to say Shachyonu, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Pasha Pshat and the Maskana is that we pask in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has a chiyuv simcha. Not just that we're mekel and avelus because we go l'kula, because there was such an opinion in the Tanoim, we go l'kula. Not pitaris halacha gedeva mekel bavu. We say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are kiregolim pitaris vaday. Even say a bracha shachyanu, but there
is chayva. So the inisam is not it's kind of external. It's not an integral part of.
It is, but it's a happy fast
right,
day.
Right, a happy
like I'm atzoi Tisha B'Av. It says you shouldn't say kiddush levana when you're still wearing your sneakers and when you're still starving. But matzoi yom kippur, you can say kiddush levana with the sneakers and when they're starving. It's a happy sneakers and a happy starving.
Shouldn't that be a stira though?
No. The observance of Inuyim on Yom Kippur is because we're like angels. It says in Shulchan Aruch, we're like malachs. That's a happy thing. Not that we're dead and we turn into angels. We're living where angels. We don't have to eat and we can live. We don't need shoes. But not wearing the shoes and not eating on Tisha B'Av, that's a sign of Avelos. But the exact same thing, observing the inuyim on Yom Kippur comes, flows from the Simchas Hayom, not from Avelis.
Doesn't the Gemara say at the last Gemara you would say that if someone sees a carry on the morning of Yom Kippur, so then like since he got some like Hana or like Simchas, so was like a bad sign. So that seems to say that those things are like an inuy, that like. It seems to be like saying that those are bad.
In a certain sense, it's bad because he's supposed to observe the inuyim, and min hashamayim they cause them to violate it. Then the Gemara says, and if he survives the year, then it's a good siman. Yira yamim yach, yira zera yach yam. It'll be a good siman. Yeah.
And the second answer of the Ramban answers the question of Chaim from the Chassan, and how did it relate back to the Chassan and the Shavir Yisha?
Second answer of the Rambam was, the Bahag never said that if a day is only a Yom Tov of the Rabbanon, that you can superimpose a Yom Evel on it. Not true. Only by last day Yom Tov you can do that. Because it's a sake of the Yom. So according to the second answer of the Rambam, it wouldn't work on Rosh Hashanah at all. Wouldn't work by the Chassan at all. Wouldn't work on Rosh Hashanah. But we go the Hakal and Rosh Hashanah because of the first answer of the Rambam. That's what the Pesach Tshuva says. We go the Hakal. Yeah, this din, halachik deba meikol ba'avol. So this is an interesting din. Halachik deba meikol. Here there's a machlokes in Tanoim whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur have a chiyuv simcha or not. Shabbos does not have a chiyuv simcha, so Shabbos does not cancel avelos, and we pass kandvarim shabbatzin on noig on Shabbos. Yom Tov has a chiyuv simcha, so it cancels avelos because. The label of the day is Yom Simcha and Yom Evel is a tag to the Sassi, it can't be both. So in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there was a machlokes hatanoim, whether there's a chiyuv Simcha or not. So we go the hakol by Avelis. Even if you would have adopted the other position, then in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no chiyuv Simcha. Even if one would assume Yikar Adin, there's no chiyuv Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but we paskin la'alochim, and again, when it comes to Avelis, we follow the other Tanah. Halacha deva meikol ba'avol is not only if it's a machlokes in Hilchas Avelis. Here it's a machlokes in Hilchas Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Is there a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So even if you hold there isn't, machlokes satana, even if you hold there isn't, when that machlokes in Shar Mekoymes, in Shar Halachas, is now relevant to Hilchas Avelis, you go to Hakel. Even if in Kol HaTorakov, you go to Hachmer. The Moshel, the din of Miktus Hayom Kekulay. Miktus Hayom Kekulay. Gemara has like this. There's a Zav or a Zav, I have to have Shiv and Akim, and then they can go to Mikvah. So I have to make B'dikas the 7 days. So let's say the Zav or the Zav made B'dikas, they made a B'dikah the morning of the seventh day, they went to Mikvah in the morning, Ikar Adin there, I said that's permissible. The one, the Anamnita says it's Adin Medirabban, the Zav can't go to Mikvah in the morning, she has to wait till the end of the day. But Mikra Din Derai said the Zav and the Zav can go to Mikvah in the morning. So let's say they went to Mikvah in the morning and they're Tohar. And then they have a Riyah Ziva the same day in the afternoon. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Yossi Nachachamim. Rabbi Yossi says, Mikzeyam Kukula, the Malos is over. The Shiva Nikiyim are finished. And now this person who used to be a Zav or a Zav, who already went to the Mikvah, now they have a Riyah Ziva in the afternoon of the seventh day. Now you start a new parasha. Now they become a new Zavar whatever, however that'll affect them. Tommy one day, Tommy 7 days, whatever the story will be. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. We paskin. Mitzvahsayim kekuloi means it's sufficient the bedika that you did in the morning. Let's say the Zavar will go to Mikvah on the fourth day. But they won't be, the Zavar won't be with us until after the 7 days are up. That's no good. You can't go to Mikvah before you count to Shimon Akim. So she counts Shiv and Akim, she makes a bedikah in the morning of the seventh day, then she goes to Mikvah. So Mikvah Hayom Kukula means it's efficient the Nihug that the Zava did, that's the original Mokar of Mikvah Hayom Kukula. How do you know there's such a din? That the morning of the seventh day of Shiva, the Oval observes Avelis, the morning of the 30th day of Shloshim, he observes Avelis, and then that's efficient. How do you know the original Mokar is by Zav and Zava? It says, V'sofro lo Shivas Yomim V'achar Titor. The Zavah should count Shiva Nikim. V'achar Titar. What do you mean V'achar Titar? Sofer L'Shivas Yomim V'Titar. She should count 7 days. Of course, after the seven, then she goes to Mikvah. What do you mean V'achar? So the Tana Reb Shimon says V'achar Maisa Titar. If she makes a bedikah in the morning of the 7 days, she can go to mikveh in the morning. The word acha tells you that din a mikzah and kikuloi. After you did your bedikah in the morning of the 7 day, mikzah sayam kikuloi, that's sufficient. But the end of the 7 day is still part of the shiva nikim. So if the zava will have a riyah in the afternoon of the 7 day, it'll turn out the gloy milsa lemafre. You didn't have shiva nikim. You only had 6 nikim, and the 7 day was tameh. If she has a riyah the end of the 7 day, the whole yom shvi is einanoki. Not only mikana labod, the whole yom shvi is einanoki. So this is a machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim. This is in middle of Nazir, in Psachim, and different mesichtes. This is a machlokes ha-tanaim. What's the gedder ha-din? What's the nature of the din of mikzus hayam kukuloi? So in kol ha-tarakula we pass them like the Chachamim. Mikzus hayam kukuloi doesn't mean the malos is over. The malos is not over. It's sufficient for the mikzus nihu. It's sufficient if they make a bdika in the morning, they're going to make in the morning, that's sufficient, and they'll become tar. But it's not that the day is over. The malos is not over. If they have a riyah in the afternoon, there'll be a gloy muslim afreya that the mikveh didn't help, and the whole 7th day was a yom einonaki, and there were only 6 nikim. There weren't 7 nikim, and the whole thing was a mistake. So nonetheless, when it comes to hilchos avelos, we follow Rabbi Yosi. We treat it as if the day is over. Where do you see that? So there's a machlekes hatanaim in Maseches Ma'akot, in the 3rd parak, Eilu Megalchon. Let's say, Erev Pesach is the 7th day of Shiva. So if one is in the middle of Shiva and Pesach comes, it cancels Shiva. One is in the middle of Shloshim and Pesach comes, Yom Tov comes, it cancels the Shloshim. So the Shaila is, the 7th day of Shiva is Erev Pesach in the morning, and the Menachem Avol, and they call it quits, and that's the end. Mikzayim Kekula, that's the end of the Shiva. So do you say the Shiva is over, and the afternoon of the 7th day, you're beginning to observe Shloshim? And then Yom Tov Pesach comes, and it terminates the Shloshim. What do you say? No, Shloshim didn't end. You don't have to observe Shiva for the full day of the 7th day. The Mikzus Hayom Kekula, the Nihug, is sufficient if you do Nihug in the morning. But the 7 days of Shiva are not up till Leil Pesach. So it comes out you didn't really begin Shloshim yet. You're still in the middle of Shiva till the end of the 7th day, till Erev Pesach, late in the day, till the end of the day. But you don't have to observe it. The nihug that you did in the morning was sufficient, but you didn't really start Shloshim yet. So that's a machlekes satana. I mean, the Gemara links it up. The Gemara says, that's the same machlekes of Yosi and the Chachamim. So even though in Kol HaTarakula we paskin the original machlekes regarding Mikzayim Kekula is not a machlekes in Hilchos Avelos. It's a machlekes on the level of the Reis, and it gets to the Zav and the Zavah. If they made a bdika the 7th day, then they went to mikveh, then they have a riyah in the afternoon, is it soysa lemafreya? So there we pass, and it is soysa lemafreya. But when it comes to hilchas, the same shayla comes up in hilchas avelos, we follow Rabbi Yosi's opinion. That's called halacha k'dei ramei kol ba'avam. So the same over here. Even if one were to assume, Shagasai has a tshuva, is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? His shayla is, are you allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur, you have to fast. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, saying, you have to eat? Like normal Yom Tov, simchas Yom Tov? Possibly yayin? Or do you say, no, Rosh Hashanah is not chiv simcha. Chiv simcha only is on Shavuos Regalim. So why don't you just prove it from the fact that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Shiva, cancel Shloshim? The fact that it undoes Avelis shows that there is a chiv simcha. So the answer is, we know there's a machlekes hatanon whether there's a chiv simcha. It could be that in Kol HaTarakula we paskin there's no chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but b'negiat Avelos we follow the lenient opinion. We say halacha k'dei ramei kol ba'avam. Rabbi Chana Wasserman points this out. Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed it out. You say halacha k'dei ramei kol ba'avam. Not only when the machlekes is in Hilchas Avelos, even if machlekes in Hilchas Mikzayim Kekuloi, machlekes is in Hilchas Simchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and even if over there we paskin against that shita, but when it comes to Hilchas Avelos, then we go lahakel. All that is included in Safek Avelos Lahakam. Safek Avelos usually means a Safek about the facts. I don't know if the person is alive or dead. I don't know if I'm related to that person. A Safek about the facts. Or a Safek whether today's Yantav was should observe Avelos or not. Yantav Sheni is a Safek of the Yema. Or if it's a Safek in a Machlekes, a Safek of the Dina. If you have a Machlekes and Alocha, that's also called a Safek Avelos. And you also go Lahakel. And you even go to Hakel if it's Rabbi Machmirim in Miut is Mekel. Halacha k'divrei ha-Mekel ba'Avel. That's what Shmuel says. The Gemara quotes Shmuel several times in the 3rd parak in Ma'akot, Ne'ilam Megalchim. So they keep on invoking Shmuel's Baal. Kol makam shatamoti, Rabbi Machmirim, the Yochid Mekal, Allah Gedivri HaRabim, Acharabim Lahatas, both on a level of the Reis and on a level of the Rabbanon, Adinim the Rabbanon also, that's not called the Sofik the Rabbanon Lakula. If Rabbim hold Lechumre, so we pass on like the Rabbim, that's not a Sofik the Rabbanon. When it comes to Ilchas Avelas, it's a Sofik Koldu. That's how the Ran uses a Lashon. Ran in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, the Ran on the Rif writes. If you have Rabbi Machmirim and a Yochid is Mekal, so that's called the Sofik Koldu. So in Ilchas Avelas, it's even a Sofik Koldu is enough to be Mekal. So that's why we say, Allah Gedevra Mekal, Ba'ovel. When there's a Machlekes, even the Machlekes is in Hilchas Simchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Machlekes in Hilchas Mikzot Sayam Kekula. It's not a Machlekes in Hilchas Avelas. Machlekes in some other area of Halacha, which is Nogea to Hilchas Avelas. So then we say that when there's a Machlekes, it's considered at least a Safek Holdahu. You have a right to be Mekum. See, here there's a third Bahag. We said before, there are three Bahags on this page. You really have Bahags. The third Bahag, the bottom Tesis says, you only say Halacha Gedevra Mekal Ba'ovel if it's a Machlekes HaTanoim. If it's a Machlekes HaMarayim, you don't say Halacha Gedevra Mekal Ba'ovel. What's wrong? The Amarayim didn't know how to learn? Why did he decide to draw the line over there? The last two lines in the bottom Tesis, and Dalam and Aleph, Posku, Halachas, Gedolz, Grab Yechon, the Pirishu, and the Bahag explains. Apagab, the Kaimalak, the Ramekel, but Ovil, Hani Mili, the Tanoi. If it's a Machlekes, Hatanoim, then you have a right to go Lekula, even if the Rabbi Mamachmirim and the Yochid is Mekel, you have a right to go Lekula. Hani Mili, the Tanoi, Abel Bamaroi, no. Machlekes, Amaroim, you have no right to. So he says, here it's a Machlekes, Rav Shmuel, say Dvar Meshabet Sina are not noyeg on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. So he says, we should have passed like Rabbi Shmuel. We should have passed like Rabbi Shmuel, the Hakel. So he says, we don't, because Halacha Gedevra Mekal Ba'ovel doesn't apply in a Machlekes Amaroim. Why not? So the Pashtus is that this is based on a Gemara later on Nun Zayin Amid Aleph. It's a famous Tosfos, Nun Zayin Amid Aleph. The second Tosfos there says the exact same thing as Rashi. There's a big fat Rashi right before the Mishnah there, Nun Zayin Amid Aleph, and the chubby Tosfos on Nun Zayin Amid Aleph, the second Tosfos. So they say the same thing. They say when you have a Machlekes, there are two kinds of Machlekes. Sometimes you have a Machlekes, Aliba the Nafshayu. I think the din is like this, and you think the din is like that. My understanding of the Chumash is like this. You understand it like that. So then you say, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, there should be room for different opinions. The original memory here, Rashi quotes, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, so Rabbi Kiveger tells you, where is it? He writes, Erevin Yud Gimel Amid Beis. There on Nun Zayin Amid Aleph. Rashi, the last line before the Mishnah, Rashi writes, Eliel Divil Kimchaim. Rabbi Kiveger identifies the source of that statement as an Erevin Yud Gimel. One Erevin is talking about the many disputes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So the birth, they were both working with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Hashem. So we say, even though we don't paskin like Beis Shammai at all, usually, we don't paskin at all like Beis Shammai, even Shas HaTchak, can't rely on Beis Shammai. But we say when you learn Beis Shammai Shita, it's not considered Bittul Torah. You're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because the Beis Shammai were working with the Midrash HaTorah Nidrash Hashem. So Rashi and Tosfos explain the way they read the Gemara. That's only if it's a Machlekes Aliba the Nafshai. What if you have a Tana makes a statement, and there's a Machlekes Abai V'Rabba? What did he mean by the statement? The Abai says he meant this, Rabba says he meant that. He didn't mean both. Eilu divrei Elokim chayim means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he meant both. He wanted that some should interpret it like this, some should interpret it like that. There's an agadah in the Gemara Menachos, where the Gemara visualizes the whole agadah is not meduyik. We assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu was on the earth. When he was on the ground, on the globe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one day he gave one parsha, another day he gave another parsha. The Gemara in Gittin has a discussion, did he write down every parsha when it was dictated to him, and then he put them together at the end of the Aboim Shana, Torah Megillah, Megillah Nitna, every day got another Megillah, Torah Chasuma Nitna. Maybe he didn't write down anything until after the Abayim Shana, and then he wrote everything down together. So that's a shayla. But the Pashto says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Vuah, is giving Parshas to Moshe Rabbeinu every day for 40 years. Every day another Parsha. And it was either written down Megillah, Megillah, Nitna, every day he wrote another Parsha. And then at the end of Abayim Shana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him how to arrange what to put first, what to put second, what to put third, and so on. Or no, he was dictated Parsha, but it wasn't, he didn't write anything to. The Gemara has an agarat as if the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote the Sefer Torah on the top of Sinai and he gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not the way it sounds from the Chumash. He gave the Luchas. He didn't give him the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara has this imaginative agarat that Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished writing the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'm ready. Give me the Torah. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, no. He dips the pen in and he starts putting in Tagim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you need the Chachkalach for? It's good the way it is now. But Hashem says, no, there's going to be a big Talmud Chacham and many generations from now. His name is going to be Rabbi Akiva. He's going to darshan Akol Tag V'Tag. Akol Kotz V'Kotz Tila Tilim Shel Halacha. He's going to darshan millions of drushes on all the Tagim. We don't have any of those drushes. We don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. You don't darshan Tagim. So what did Ribbono Shel Olam waste his time for? The answer is, that's another Derech Halima. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted there should be more than one Derech Halima. L'psak Halach, we haven't accepted that. So here also, B'shamay B'shilo, each one had a different approach. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he wanted there should be variety. It gets boring. That's what the Baal HaTanya quotes, a passage from the Zohar, on the Pasuk, and the Tanya, he quotes this. On the Pasuk, when Yitzchak Avinu requested from Yankov, from Esav, Yitzchak requested from Esav, Se asada utzuda litzayt v'havali matamim. He said, go hunt an animal and shecht it and prepare it and prepare many courses. I'd like to eat a good meal and put me in a good mood and I want to give you a bracha. So why did he say, havali matamim? Give me different courses of a meal. What do you need so many courses of a meal for? Give him a steak, and if he's still hungry, give him another piece of steak. Still hungry, give him a third piece of steak. What do you need? The soup, and the challah, and the baked potatoes, and this and that, and the gefilte fish. What do you need? So many courses. Just eat. So the answer is, people enjoy variety. So just like human beings enjoy variety, this has say limatamim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates variety also. It get boring if everybody does Hanochas Tefillin exactly the same, and everybody davens the same nusach. But Shlomo appreciates variety, so that's why he wanted an institution, a Yud Beis Shvatim, and every Shevet should have its own Bez Nagoro, and each Shevet should have a different Derech and Avodas Hashem. So that's the idea of Eilu V'Eilu Dibel Kimcha. Halacha L'maaseh, we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. But the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, there should be room, like he put in the Tagim, there should be room for such an approach like Rebbe Kiva, even though we don't paskin like that. We don't pass like Beis Shammai. But the Tana, who says a statement in the Mishnah, he didn't talk out of both sides of his mouth. He didn't have in mind, whatever they'll interpret in what I said is okay with me. He didn't have that in mind. The Ribbono Shel Olam had that in mind. Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Asei li matamim." He wants to have variety. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter, he meant that there should be Yud Beis Shvatim, each Sanhedrin should interpret differently. But if you have a machlokes, not a liba de nafshai. You don't have a machlokes, abai v'rava, with the yish, shalom yidaz, have yish. That's machlokes, a liba de nafshai. What do you think the din is? But very often you have a machlokes, amarim, not a liba de nafshai. They're arguing, how do you translate the words in the Mishnah? Did the Tana mean X or did the Tana mean Y? So then, if it's a machlokes, a liba de chad mandom, and not a liba de nafshai, one is right and one is wrong. Historically, one is dead wrong. You can't say elu v'elu, and it's machlokes. What did the Tana mean? Whatever he meant, that's what he meant. So that's what Rashi and Taisus say over there. In such a case, he can't say elu v'elu divrei kimcha. So the Pashtus in this third Bahag, the bottom Taisus, the last line in the bottom Taisus on Dalai Lama, Pashtus in the third Bahag is that this klal, halachik de ramekol ba'ovel, whenever there's any suffik kol dehu, the Reif say lahachmer, only the miut say lahakol. So that's called the Safi Koldo. Whenever there's any Safi Koldo, even if you should assume Hilchus Avelis is deraisa, that was the Taisus that we had yesterday, his Taisus, and Erevin, that they quote the Chubas again. Even if the old Avelis Amrishan is deraisa, you still say Safi Avelis Lakula, and not only a Safi Kashokol 50-50, even a suffix where the roiv say lo hachmir and the miut say lo hakol, it's not a suffix in mitzias, a sveikah adina, and the roiv say lo hachmir, but it's a suffix called the who. There's a minority opinion that says lo hakol, they have a right to be mekel. So this is only by medvar mamurim if it's a case of elu v'yelu divrei elokim chayim. But if it's a machlekes amarayim, usually ruba de ruba machlekes amarayim, it's not like Yerushalayim does. Anu machlekes aliba de nafshay. Usually the machlekes amarayim is how do you read the Mishnah? So the one who read it wrong is wrong. So you can't say elu v'yelu. You can't say elu v'yelu. So you can't say aloch debra mekel ba'avla. You can't say that there's truth to both of them. And it's a suffix called the. There's no truth. The one who has been outvoted, there's no truth at all. Historically incorrect. He's telling me that that's what Rab Shimon said. That's what Rab Yudah said in the Mishnah. He's wrong. We assume historically Rab Yudah meant the other thing. He didn't mean what this Amor is saying. So that's the Pashtos, what the Bahag is driving at. That you don't apply the klal halachak the Ramekal Ba'oval in a situation where the Machlekes HaPoskim is not Aliba Den Avshayu. It's machlekes how to read a certain text, and machlekes what the gifts is. Machlekes what the gifts. I can say elu v'yelu. One is right and one is wrong. One gifts is right, one gifts is wrong.
We learn machlekes amarayim.
It's not bitul Torah because the Balamor wrote hasogas on the riff. So he has one hasoga on the whole writing of a riff. He says, the Rif abridged the Gemara. The Rif has, he boy lahu, yush lo midas, habi yush lo hamidiyush, machleg zabai v'rove, and he writes it, this is like abai bi al kagam, yush lo midas lo habi yush. So the Balamor says, you can't abridge a Gemara. Because when the Gemara asks kashas on abai, asks kashas on rove, the Gemara gives answers. So the Gemara is making assumptions in the kasha, and sometimes the assumptions remain even after the answer. So if you're going to abridge the Gemara, you've got to be missing all the assumptions. The Gemara will say, no, the one whose opinion we accept only said in this case. He wouldn't say in that case. So if you're going to abridge the Gemara, you've got to be missing all of those things. So it's important to learn the Machlekes HaMarayim, even though one of them is going to be dead wrong, if the Machlekes is not Aliba, then Abshar. It's going to be a Machlekes, how do you read the Mishnah? It's important to read all the whole sugi in the Gemara, even though one is Mamish Bitul Torah, because that'll be relevant to understand what we do, Paskin. We have to know what were they agreeing to and what were they disagreeing to. Whenever there's a machlekes, they agree on 99 things and they disagree on one thing. So you have to see what did the mandama whose opinion is rejected, what did he say, in order to know what, how many points of his are rejected and how many are accepted. But the one point that's rejected is totally wrong. We assume it's historically wrong. The Tanna never meant that. And that is bittul Torah. That part is bittul Torah. But you have to learn that in order to know all the points. What exactly did he say? What do we agree? What we disagree? The mivar, what the din is.
And regarding modern
so that's a big shaila. Usually, the machlokes in today are how to read a Ramban, how to read a Gemara, how to read a Rambam. So usually it's not a machlekes halibah den avshayu, it's a machlekes what did this pasuk mean? So then you really shouldn't apply halachik de ramekel ba'ovel.
That's you say we apply that also the Rambam, like going for the first opinion of the Rambam?
When we're not sure which answer is correct. It's possible that the first answer is correct, possible second. We're not sure. So we say that both possibilities are possible. So it's a suffix, that's a real suffix alemas. That's a real stuff. You know, you don't know which answer is correct. So you have a right to go to Kula in both directions.
For Beit Shammai, though, we say there still is Elu Elu for Tom and Torah.
Yeah.
But not here, not when it's a machlokes.
So Leipa, a machlokes, not Aliba Nafshah, Aliba the Chadman Domar, then Rashi and Tosis say on Nun Zayin, you can't apply Elu Elu. Can't apply Elu Elu. They can't say Halach Deran Mekel Ba'Ovel. Halach Deran Mekel Ba'Ovel is one of the seven or eight halachas that are based on the premise that Eidu Yedu Divi L'Kim Chaim. The Mishkan is Yankee, that has a whole essay about this. On Brachas Daf Yud Aleph in the Sefer.
How do we know that Rashi tells us, or even saying, in terms of Divrei Torah, Talmud Torah, there's no Eidu Yedu there? Or like Beit Shammai, we say there's no Eilu Eilu for halacha, but there is still Eilu Eilu for learning.
Learning mitzvahs Talmud Torah.
How do we see from Rashi and Tosfos that even for Talmud Torah, when they're arguing Eilu the Chadman the Amar,
yeah. That's what they say. We would not apply Eilu V'Eilu. So when you do apply, that only means that it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It doesn't mean la'alocha. So in the case when it's a Libet Echad Mandami, you don't apply Eilu V'Eilu. Don't apply it. So it's a no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's no Kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
So how do we say Mizlanazef? They're just arguing how to read that.
Right. So that's a question. So the last Korban Nesanel on the bottom of the Rosh, in Maseches Ma'ikotin, the Rosh writes over there, Halachik Debra Mekabob. So the last Korban Nesanel says, look in the Tesis here. Tesis quotes the Bahag. And we don't follow that Tesis. We say, we don't accept this Bahag because we say even a Machlekes and Poskim. It's not so compelling that he's right. Could be only say a Machlekes and Poskim when it's a Machlekes Aliba then Avshayu. The Bahag didn't mean Tanoim versus Amoraim. He meant Tanoi means alibed and nafshay, amoraim means alibed achad mandamar. So it could be that we do paskin and machlekes haposkin, achreinim. He also says, alochi dera mekababa, only when it's a machlekes, alibed and nafshay. Maybe it doesn't apply when you're trying to read a text. That's the question. How far do you go? What time is it now?
12:12.
Okay.
Did we answer for the Rambam?
No. So we started to answer. We started to say like this. The Rambam holds, let's say, Hakoves Mesa Barego. Someone dies on Yontif and you bury him on Yontif. So the Rambam holds, there's no Dram Shem Tzinanoi. Because the Rambam holds, before Kvura, you don't observe Abelus at all. Here it's ready after the Kvura. You only observe Avelis when it'll add up to a Kiyam of a Malos, a Kiyam of a Mitzvah. So on Yontif, the days are not Oile Lamin Yeshiva. The days are labeled as Yemei Simcha. You cannot be superimposing Shem Yemei Evel on it. So it's not going to lead up to a Kiyam of a Malos. So therefore, you don't have to observe Avelis at all. On Shabbos, the Vinochiv Simcha. The day is not labeled as a Yom Simcha. So you can label a day as a Yom Evel, but Yontif is a Yom Simcha. So the Shaila was, B'chol Mokam we had that thesis. B'chol Mokam all over in Shas, one place. All over in Shas we equate Simchas Yontif with Simchas Chosin, when we get to the Din of Rias Negoyim. This is quoted from Moed Kotten, from Dav Zayin. But over here, the Rambam holds that it's not exactly the same. Not the same. Why is it not the same? So how did the Ramban begin again? We started the Ramban in order to explain the Rambam. The Ramban originally understood the Bahag, who said that the last day Yontif counts as the first day of Shiva, even though you don't observe it. So the second explanation that the Ramban gave, because it's a Safek Avelis L'Hokal, you go, maybe it's Yontif, maybe it's not Yontif. So maybe it's Yontif, you don't observe Avelis. And maybe it's not Yontif, so it counts, you go L'Hokal, it counts as the first day of Shiva. That was the second explanation of the Ramban. But the first explanation of the Ramban, he's explaining the Bahag, why the last day Yontif counts for the first day. First explanation was that you can't superimpose a Shem Yom Evel on Yontif the Araisa, because it's a Yom Simcha the Araisa. The Dinam the Araisa changed the Chepza. So the day is labeled, the Chepza the day is labeled as a Yom Evel. So you can't superimpose a Shem, the day is labeled as a Yom Simcha, you can't superimpose a Shem Yom Evel. But if it's a Yontif the Rabbanon, Yontif Shem Yishol, Yontif the Rabbanon, so you can superimpose a Shem Yom Evel on the last day. You don't observe it, but it has a Shem Yom Evel. So, L'chor, you have to say like that over here in the Gemara. By the Simchas Chosin, most of the Balei HaTosfos start, most of the Rishonim start off, the whole thing is only the Rabban. The Rosh was a big Chiddush. Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi says that the first day of Shivas Yimei HaMishpah is the Raisim. A big breakthrough. And then the Mishkanes Yankev already said all 7 days are the Raisim. But the premise in all the Rishonim was that it's only the Rabban. So it's only the Rabbanon. So the Pashtus is, like the Ramban started off, that's what the Bahag said. You can, if the day is only a Yom Simcha with the Rabbanon, you can superimpose a Shem Yom Evel on the day. So if it's a Yom Evel, then Dvarim Shebetzina will be Noeg. Dvarim Shebetzina not Noeg according to the Rambam, not Noeg on Yontav, even after the Kvura, because Yontav is not labeled as a Yom Evel. And the only time you have to observe Avelis is when there's going to be a Kiyum Alos. when the days, by your observance of all of the 11 dinim, not to bathe and not to shmir and not to take a haircut, not to have tashem shamitim, when one observes all the yud alav dinim, so it's going to add up to a kiyum alos. I observed the yom evil, I created an observance of the yom evil. So before the kvura, it's not called yom evil, so there's no neogalus at all before the kvura. After the kvura on yom tov, also not a yom evil, because it's a yom simcha, so you will never accomplish the day should have. By your observance of Avel, the day should be labeled as Yom Evil. But on the last day, Yom Tov, that's only the Rabbanon. The Ramban understood in the Bahag, since it's only a Yom Simcha, the Rabbanon, the Chepza, the Yom doesn't change. You can't superimpose the Shem Yom Evil. So the same you have to say by the Simchas Chosen. You have to say, Simchas Chosen is only the Rabbanon. So you can superimpose the Shem Yom Evil on top of the Yom Simcha. The Gemara says it doesn't work by Yontav, because Osi Esed the Rab Mardochi Esed the Yachid. For the whole world, it's Yontav today. So how can you say for him it's a Yom Evil? Even though his Avelis began before Yontav. You can't say whoever came first wins. What do you mean? He starts Avelis in the first 7 days, his Avelis are labeled as Yom Evil, but Yontav comes for the whole world. All the Jews in South Africa, the Jews in New Zealand are observing Yontav on this day. The day is a Yom Simcha for everybody, so it can't be labeled as a Yom Evil for him. Here it's not Osi Esed the Rab Mardochi Esed the Yachid. They're both Esed the Yachid. It's his Simchas Chosen, his Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, his Shivas Yimei Mishta, and it's his Shivas Yimei Avel. They're both Yachid. So we say whichever came first wins, but you can't say because the day is labeled as a Yom Simcha, therefore it cannot be labeled, you cannot superimpose the Shem Yom Evil. No, it's not such a big tie to this Asur. The whole labeling of the Yom Simcha is only Midi Rabbanon. You can superimpose the Shem Yom Evil, but we say that he's Noyik Simcha, but Dvarim Shebetzina Noyik. But his observance of the Dvarim Shebetzina, he will be accomplishing a Malos. Here it's going to be a Malos of 14 days, not a Malos of 7 days. It's going to be a Malos of 14 days. But by observing the laws of Avelis, the Tashmish Amita, for 14 days, the days are labeled now. His observance makes it the days were labeled. He accomplished that he created Yimei Evil. He observed the days to make them into Yimei Evil. That's the kiyum of the Malos. Okay, we didn't tie up all the loose ends. We tied up some of the loose ends. We got to tie up some more loose ends, okay. This Sunday is a normal day? No Yom Tov, no Martin Luther King? Okay. So we'll have normal for a time of Shira on Sunday. 11:30. 11:30.